1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse number 4. Here two times in this passage, we're called a priesthood. We're called a priesthood. In verse 5, we're called a holy priesthood. In verse number 9, God says, when you get saved, you're a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. Someone said, how come there are no priests in the Baptist church? And that's because there's no priests in a good way in the New Testament. Anytime you look in the book of Acts, priests are always, I believe they're mentioned 27 times, and only one time are they mentioned in a good way. But priests are not in the New Testament. You say, why? Priests are in the Old Testament, because when you get saved, you become a priest. You become a priest. Here's the definition of a priest. One authorized to perform the sacred rites of a religion as a mediatory agent or a go-between humans and God. I love that. And God twice calls us a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood. I'll give you the title of the sermon tonight here. I'd like you to take your Bible, though, and right now go to Leviticus. I'm going to refer back to the 1 Peter chapter we just read. Go to Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and let me show you something about a priest. A priest. Leviticus chapter 1, Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. The third book in the Bible there. Look at chapter 1 and look at verse 7. Ready? Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 7. This is all foundational for tonight, and I hope the Lord's able to, I know this is what the Lord wants me to preach, but I hope the Lord's able to use this tonight in your life. Watch this. Leviticus 1, 7, and the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. Leviticus 1, 8. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. Verse 9. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Look down at verse number 13. And he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Look at verse 15. And the priest shall bring it unto the altar and wring off his head and burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the sides of the altar. Look down at verse number 17. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. And it is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire. There's these words again, a sweet savor. That means it smells good unto the Lord. Look at chapter 2, look at verse number 2. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests. And he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof and of the oil thereof with all the frankincense thereof, and the priests shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. In this passage in Leviticus, I know Leviticus can kind of get overwhelming to people and Jewish customs and things like that. But the general gist is this. If it had to do with the tabernacle or the place where God dwelled, the priest handled the sacrifices of the people and burnt them on the altar and did the service of the tabernacle in the altar. We spiritualize a lot in the Old Testament. Because of the New Covenant or the New Testament, which began with Jesus dying on the cross. When did the New Testament begin? It did not begin with Matthew. It did not begin with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It began when Jesus said, "It is finished," gave up the ghost, and then the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. Now, because of the blood that was shed and his death, we now have access into the Holy of Holies. We don't need a priest anymore. And before Jesus died, if anybody went into that holy place, they'd put bells on it and they'd tie a rope to him. And once a year for the atonement, the priest could go in and put the blood for the atonement of the people. And if he wasn't doing it right, God would kill him. Then they'd pull him out. They'd hear the bells stop tinkling and go, well, I guess we lost one. You know, and they'd pull the priest out. Now Jesus said, it is finished. I have paid salvation's price. And when you trust me as your Savior, you get instant access, complete access to God the Father. And there is no need of a priest anymore. We spiritualize it. So the New Testament begins with the death of Jesus on the cross. The Gentile church is not the replacement for Israel. Genesis 12, just listen closely. We'll go to a place. I'd like you to take your Bible and go to Galatians 3:7. Go to the New Testament here real quick. But while I read these verses, we are not the replacement for Israel. Genesis 12 says, God told Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee, in Abraham, shall all families of the earth be blessed. That promise is still in conjunction. That promise is still in effect. God says, I think it was horrible the way our president treated Netanyahu, making him wait for 2 hours in the front office of the White House, and then came in and did. It was shameful how he treated Israel. I think one of the things that saved us as a nation is Israel is still, is how we treat Israel. And all these natural disasters, the fires and the disease and the hurricanes and things, every time that happens, I always think, what'd President Obama do to Israel now? They are still the people of God. As a church, a Gentile church, we are not the replacement for Israel. And God says, I will bless those that bless Israel, and I will curse those that curse Israel. And every time our president pushes on Israel, a disaster happens here in America, you cannot touch Israel. We are not the replacement for it. You're in Galatians 6:7. This is all foundational. Just stay with me here for a minute. You're in Galatians 3:7. Just listen to Romans 4:12. And the Father of... And when you get saved, you become a spiritual child of Abraham. And the father of, I'm in Romans right now, you just wait. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. I know when you read circumcision in the Bible, it's talking about the Jewish custom of the entrance into Judaism. But what he's trying to say is, circumcision as a Jew doesn't make you one of God's people. Abraham trusted God, then circumcision was instituted. It is still faith that saves. It is not circumcision. Praise God. Okay? It is faith that saves, and Abraham... was made a child of God. Then God said, now to seal the bargain and to make a picture of the covenant, we're going to do this. But circumcision doesn't save anybody. You're in Galatians 3, right? Galatians 3, look at verse 7. Watch this. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. God said, I will make you, Abraham, and of your seed a great nation, as the sands of the sea, and, watch, as the stars of heaven. He said, through Abraham, I'm going to give a physical seed, that's the Jew, that's the Hebrew, and the stars will be the spiritual children. You can't count either, okay? So when you get saved, you say, what are you driving at, preacher? I'm saying when you get saved, you become a spiritual child of Abraham. Watch this. You're in Galatians 3, look down to verse 26, ready? For ye are all the children of God, by faith in Christ Jesus. Then watch this. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, when you got saved, you were baptized into Christ. That's not talking about water baptism. It says here, when you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Talking about the day you got saved. Then look at verse 29. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. All I'm trying to say is when you get saved, you become a spiritual Jew. You become a spiritual child of Abraham. I'm a Gentile that has trusted Christ as my Savior. And Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. Okay, we won't sing the song, but you know this. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, Father Abraham. Okay, never mind. All right. When you get saved, you become a spiritual child of Abraham. You become a spiritual child of Abraham. But you did not replace Israel. When you trusted Jesus as your Savior, you became a priest. You became a priest. This is why our text in 1 Peter, penned by the apostle to the Jews, Peter, tells the born-again believer that they're a priest, a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood. We spiritualize the Old Testament. Listen closely. Aaron was the high priest. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 4, is now a better priest. He's the final priest. Aaron's sons were the priests. We are a holy priesthood. The Old Testament priest served in the tabernacle. Jesus Christ purchased the New Testament Baptist church with his blood, and we serve through the local church. That's what's wrong with Awana program. It's not based in the church. They try to control the church, but they're not in the church. And what we are supposed to do, we go soul winning through the church. We serve through the church. We serve through the local New Testament church. And why? Because that's what Jesus shed his blood for. Aaron's sons were priests. We are made a holy priesthood now in the New Testament, serving through the church. Jesus is our high priest. Okay? Hebrews chapter 4 says, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore," because he understands us, "let us therefore come unto the throne of grace, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus is our high priest. Salvation, when you get saved, when you trust Jesus as your Savior, that makes us, now I'd like you to go to Revelation chapter 1, that makes us priests to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Preacher, I already saw it in 1 Peter chapter 2. I know, but watch this. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Just in case you miss it in 1 Peter chapter 2, watch what happens here. Look at the declaration. Revelation, last book of the Bible. If you have a hard time finding it, don't tell anybody. Okay? Revelation chapter 1, look at verse number 5. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood," comma, so he washed us, he loved us and washed us in his washed us from our sins in his own blood, "and hath made us kings and priests unto God." Just in case you missed it in 1 Peter chapter 2, when you get saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you are now a priest unto God. You now are able to serve God like the priest served in the Old Testament. In Revelation, you're still there, go to chapter 5. Ready? Let's look at it one more time. Same thing, but Revelation chapter 5. Beautiful verses. Watch this. Revelation chapter 5, and look at verse number 9. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations." Nation, semicolon, verse 10. "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests." That's why you're a royal priesthood. Tonight, as I stand before God's people, I want to get a truth tonight. The title of my sermon is, I am a priest in service to my King. I'm a priest in service to my King. Yes, we're Baptists. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. We believe here, and every believer today is a priest of God. And you can enter into God's presence in prayer directly through our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. As priests, I'm talking to you now if you're saved. We can study God's Word, pray for each other, offer spiritual worship to God. We all, praise the Lord, have equal access to God. 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's one mediator. This doctrine, I love this, reveals the tremendous equality in the family of God and in the house of God. All born again, men and women, boys and girls, are spiritual priests before God. The Bible was given to individuals. As a result of this priceless gift, every individual is accountable to enter into a relationship with Christ regardless of the teaching he has or has not received. You say, oh, I wasn't brought up that way. It doesn't matter. You have a Bible. Well, my culture is different. Culture will cut your throat spiritually. I don't care what culture you come from. You were given a Bible. And that Bible, you are responsible to read. You say, well, you don't need prayer. Aren't you glad you don't need me to tell it to you? Aren't you glad? You can read it for yourself. God will teach you. Yeah, I love 1 John. Ye have need that no man teach you. You've got the anointing from above when you get saved. Now, there is a secret place of the Most High where the Father speaks to His child, you. And the child speaks to his father. And this is the very seat and the center of religion. Nothing extraneous can intrude here. I love this. You say, how come this means so much to you? I love this because you're as close to God as you want to be. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Well, I would do it except I was raised this way. You're as close to God as you want to be. You love Jesus as much as you want to. And the day you want to love Him more, it's up to you. Since you've been saved. I love that freedom. I love that. Now with this privilege of being a priest, a royal priesthood, since you've been saved, with this privilege also comes duties. First is this, your quiet time with the Lord, since you're a priest. What's a priest do? They do ceremonies between God and men. They represent God to men. How do you do that if you don't spend time with God? Take your Bible and go to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. Why did Jesus save you? Why did He save you? Child of God, you have so much. I don't know if you understand it. Well, I haven't been to priest school. You're a priest if you're saved. Amen? You say, well, I don't understand the duties in Leviticus. You're a priest. A royal priest. God made you a priest unto God. You're a servant of the Lord. You're a servant of the Lord. That's nothing you graduate into. That's something you're saved into. Look at Mark chapter 3. Why did Jesus save you? Watch this. Mark chapter 3, look at verse 13. And He goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto Him whom He would, and they came unto Him. And He ordained 12. And then look at this next phrase, that they should be with Him. You know how come Jesus saved you? He saved me to go soul winning. That's the next thing. And that He might send them forth to preach. That's not the first reason Jesus saved you. The first reason Jesus saved you is to be with you. To be with you. That's why your time in the morning when you read your Bible, I told you this morning in Sunday school, your time in the Bible is the reason Jesus saved you. If I can get you to spend a regular time in your Bible and to encourage you to build your relationship with the one that saved you, then He can speak to your heart and He's the one that grows you. But why did Jesus save me? He saved you to be with you. And there's some Christians I know as well as I'm talking to. There are some Christians, they're faithful to their Bible. There's other Christians, they haven't been in their Bible in weeks. He saved me to go soul winning. He saved me to preach. He saved me. All that's secondary. All that's secondary when you read that. Did you know God wants to be with you? Did you know God wants to spend... Isn't that a wonderful thought? the creator of the universe. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? And God, you actually think about me. God says, I died for you. Why wouldn't I think about you and want to be with you? God says, I love you passionately. You don't love me, but that never stops my love for you. Aren't you glad? Why did Jesus save me? He saved me to be with me. He saved you to be with you. And tomorrow morning, I don't know when you're planning on reading your Bible tomorrow. I don't know. I'll just tell you this. You're a priest if you're saved. And that time with God, it's supposed to, it is the seat of everything we do. And let me tell you something, Christian. You lose your walk with God, you lose your Bible time, you lose your prayer time, and this just becomes a bunch of going through the motions. You lose Jesus, you lose the reason for it all. You lose the purpose of who I'm serving. Why did He save you? He saved you to be with you. He died for you and rose again so you could be reconciled or brought together in friendship with Him. The Lord is always with you, but He saved you so you could be with Him. As a priest, your Bible time, your prayer time, your relationship with God should be the most important thing to you in your life. If you'll put God first, it's amazing how wonderful everything falls into place. But when you lose God, it's amazing how disheveled life becomes. And you can't make sense of it. What's happening? Man, life just stinks. You lost the reason for it all, didn't you? You lost the reason for it all. What's the second reason Jesus saved you? Would you go to Luke, John? You're in Mark. Matthew, Mark, Luke, go to John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus saved you to do two things. To be with you. John chapter 14. And look at verse 12. John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Christian, you were saved to be with the Lord, and you were saved to serve the Lord. That's the purpose of the church. The purpose of it's. I'm for feeding the hungry. I'm for being a lighthouse in the community. But our purpose is the Great Commission. To get people saved, baptized, and discipled. That's our purpose. We're not a culture club. We're not a community gathering. We're a church, and our purpose is to serve the Lord. If you believe on Jesus, He said, I saved you to do what I did when I was here. And if you trust me, if you'll walk with me, you'll do greater. I think that's amazing. You'll do greater things than I did when I was here. He was only here 3.5 years. I mean, he was here 33 and a half years, but his ministry was 3.5 years. And he said, you'll get to see more people saved and do more than I did when I was here, if you believe on me. Why did Jesus save you? He saved you to be with you, first of all. And second of all, Jesus saved you to serve him. We are to offer four spiritual, as a priest, we're to offer four sacrifices, and I'm watching the time, so hang on there. Go to Philippians chapter 4 and look at verse 18. As a priest then, remember how we read in Leviticus how the priest would offer the offering onto the altar, and whatever they burnt to the Lord, it was a sweet savor unto the Lord. God says, that smells good to me. That smells good. I love your sacrifice. You understand? It was a sweet savor. It said that in Leviticus. Now we're going to spiritualize it, and we're going to go to the New Testament, and you as a priest, guess what? Your service is a sacrifice. There's four sacrifices that we're supposed to make as Christians because you're a priest. That means you're going to go to the altar. You're going to oversee the slaying of the animal. You're going to light the fire. You're going to do it as God says. Only now we're in the New Testament. Praise God, we don't make animal sacrifices anymore. Jesus was that sacrifice. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 18. Philippians 4, verse 18. As a priest now, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell. Watch this. A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. As a Christian, now that you're a priest, you make spiritual sacrifices, and the first sacrifice you make is your money that you give to the Lord, because it is a sacrifice. It's His. The first 10% is God's. However, nobody has 10% of their paycheck laying around going, you know, I just can't figure out what to spend that on. Right? All of us tithe by faith. But for you to tithe by faith, you have to look at your paycheck, move the decimal point. That's, I do that before Uncle Sam gets his. Amen? Uncle Sam ain't getting his money before God does. I tithe on the gross, not the net. I move the decimal point, and then I round up to the nearest 10 or 5 or whatever. I've done that since I've been saved, because I figure I can't give God too much. Amen? Now, some of you, you do it right to the penny, and that's okay. All right, I'm just letting you know I round it up, okay? And God says your financial giving, this is talking about the gift that was sent, was a sweet smell to God, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Christian, your tithes and your offerings are a sacrifice that you make as a priest to God. And it is through that that we serve. It's what keeps the lights on. It's what keeps the buses on. It's what keeps the maintenance up. It's through that sacrifice that God uses the church to reach other people. It is. There he's talking about money again. I'm not talking about money again. Although this is talking about money. Christian, when you give, it's supposed to be holy. That tithe is holy. And God says, it doesn't say that, it's a sweet smell. God says, I like that. Just like He did in the Old Testament when the priests were offering the animals. God says, your sacrificial giving, your tithes and your offering is one of the sacrifices that you make when you get saved. What's another sacrifice? Would you go to Hebrews 13? Hebrews. You're in Philippians. Just turn over a couple of books there to Hebrews. Hebrews 13. Watch this. As a priest, I think it helps people understand. Look, I've heard this statement since I've been a pastor, and people say, well, your church doesn't need any money, so I don't tithe. You don't tithe because the church needs money. You tithe because you need God's blessing. Somebody said, I heard one person about 10 years ago make this statement. Well, I look for a church that needs my money, and then I join that church. Whoa! I don't know of a church that needs me. Amen? It's a privilege to go to church. It's a privilege to be a member of a local church. And then I give out of obedience to God, but not, this church needs me. It's kind of arrogant. But here we go. There's a lot of whacked out thinking out there. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's look at the next sacrifice. Ready? Watch this. Hebrews 13 verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us, Christians, offer, watch, the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Christian, did you know it's God's command that you praise Him? Well, I'm just not in a praising mood. Well, yield to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit bear fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith. Then yield to the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to praise God. When you read the Bible and you look at praise, part of praise is singing. That's a whole other sermon, but did you know you're commanded to sing to the Lord? Well, I don't feel like singing. You're commanded by God to sing to your Creator and Savior. It is a command. I don't care if you can hold a tune in a bucket or not. Amen? If you need a lid for the tune so it doesn't fall out of the bucket, then put a lid on the bucket. But sing, amen. You say, why do you sing? I'm getting past my prime as a singer. I realize that. They say you come to voice when you're 40. I'm now 50. There's going to come a day when it would probably help if I didn't use the mic. Okay? I realize that. But I don't care. whether I'm in my prime or not, I'm still supposed to sing to God. I'm supposed to sing. When I read the Bible, it says here, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That's talking about being thankful. That's talking about, wow, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for life. And then that, I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, paid the debt and set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. I don't care what you sound like when you sing. God says, when you sing to me, not to everybody else, that smells good. God says, I like that sacrifice. You're a priest. Yeah, Brother Dorsey goes, see, God likes my singing. So, your giving is a sacrifice. Your praise is a sacrifice. Look down at the next verse. Let's look at the next one. Hebrews 13:16. Ready? Look at the next verse. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. Watch this. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. When I read sacrifice in the New Testament, it's a spiritual sacrifice that I now make as a priest. I'm going to offer to God my tithe because I'm a priest. I'm going to offer to God my praise and my singing, and I'm going to offer to God my service. It's a sacrifice. You're right. It's a sacrifice to serve. But you're supposed to do something for God. Let's look at the last verse here. Look at Romans chapter 12. Go back a couple of books there, right after Acts. Go to Romans chapter 12. Ready? This sacrifice, as a priest, we present sacrifices to God. And it is a sweet savor unto the Lord. We're supposed to be out to serve God now that we're saved. So we serve God in our giving, our praise, our service. And really, this probably reiterates it. But look at Romans 12, verse 1. Ready? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your body's holy. You're not supposed to pierce it and tattoo it and all that stuff. You did that before you got saved. It's under the blood. Okay? But your body's holy. And it is your body that you serve God with. That's why you need to take care of your body. You need to eat right. You need to, well, I'm just a junk food junkie. When your body is lying on the bed and you're sick as a dog, you can't serve God. You need to take care of your body. You need to brush your teeth. You only get one set, right? You hear your mom and dad say that? Amen? Well, we would all appreciate it too. Okay? Ha ha. All right? All I'm telling you is take care of your body. It's what you serve God with. As a priest, it's how you make sacrifices to the Lord when you go soul winning. Can I just say something tonight? You attending church is not a sacrifice. This is not... You're not serving God tonight by being in church. You're receiving, right? Churches, preaching is where we get, right? Then you serve by going and somewhere giving. Soul winning is service. Teaching a Sunday school class is service. Zach came and helped me electrically with some things. That service, he made a physical... He was here physically, and he did something physical, and he made a sacrifice. That is a sweet savor to the Lord. And by the way, when all of you do that, unless you're involved in the service, okay, watch this. The one that made the sacrifice tonight obviously is going to be the preacher, it's going to be the song leader, it's going to be the pianist. They gave of themselves, right? They gave out. But we need to understand in America, you going to church is not your service to God. It's where you get so you can go out and give. As what? As a priest. As a priest of the Lord, you have to get your daily devotions settled. As a priest, you must make soul winning or telling others about the Lord a part of your schedule. I can only choose leadership in the church from soul winners. Do you understand? I can only choose leadership from the church. I cannot go up to anybody and say, if you'll be a Sunday school teacher, if you'll go soul winning, I can make you a Sunday school teacher. I can't do that. The incentive for your service is supposed to be a love for your king. It's not supposed to be so you can hold a position. Does that make sense? In other words, well, just give it to people and let them rise to the occasion. The occasion you're supposed to rise to is supposed to be you're a priest and a king unto God Almighty. You get to serve the king, and what you do, you're not serving me. You're serving, you're doing it through the church, but you're getting to serve your God. Is there a higher calling? No, there's not. No, there's not. Going soul winning is a command. And why I put that I'm supposed to help you with, and I'll help you go soul winning. I'll help you with your schedule and things like that. But once those two things are settled, your devotions, your Bible time, and I know everybody has to work at it. I know that. I don't know of anybody that is just, well, it's just natural. Some are disciplined enough because they've done it for a while. They get up in the morning and first thing they grab is their Bible. I tried that. I short-circuited on Jesus. The first thing I do in the morning is shower. Okay, I got to get some water on my face. Okay, then I grab my Bible. Amen. And a cup of coffee. Amen. Okay. Once those two things are settled, your devotions and your soul winning, then you're ready to begin serving through the church. You aren't, okay, and I already said this, you're not serving me. I lead the ministry here. I administrate it. I'm the pastor, the under-shepherd, but you're not serving me. In this, when you open it up, if you'll look at the areas, I wanted to show you tonight, as a church, what we have. There is plenty to do around here. If you want to serve your king, there's plenty to do. The first set here, In the following three areas, there is no membership, attendance, standards, requirements. In other words, we have people that help us with the grounds that are not member yet. But watch this. In the maintenance, in the missions, a lady or a group of ladies, and one day they will, and you need to ask me about it, but our missionaries need their birthdays taken care of. One of the missionaries that was here said, you know, people say they pray for us and everything else, but we don't get one phone call. She said, and where we're at, there's nobody to talk to. We raise our children by ourselves. We do it all by ourselves. And I just, my heart went out to them. And I think we need, it's called a ladies' missionary board. And what it does is, I'd give you the birthdays of the missionaries, of our missionaries, their anniversaries, Christmas cards. We could send them care packages. It's a way of service to the people that we support. And right now, nothing is happening in our church with the missionaries. It'll take somebody saying, I'm a priest. I'm going to serve my king in that capacity. And in these three here, there's no membership, there's no attendance, and there's no standard requirements. This is one area where we need, our missionaries need, I need help taking, I'll just tell you this, our church needs help taking care of the missionaries. Next, cleaning. On the weekend, we have two ladies that help us. They rotate. Cleaning the building, vacuuming the building. Okay? The modular and the trailer, we have nobody to clean that yet. We have nobody to clean that. During the week for the Wednesday night service, I have no problem. I vacuum the whole church. I'm going to get to the point where I can't do that, but right now, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Amen? And that was the verse that I got called into the ministry with. God, let me do anything. Let me scrub a toilet. The fact that God could use me. God, I'll do anything. Could I serve you in any capacity? Nothing's too small. I just want to do something. I want to do something because I'm saved. We need, look, there's maintenance. There's building, maintenance on the building. There's maintenance on the grounds. That's broken up into three things. The mowing crew, the snow crew. They're saying we're going to have a hard winter. When it snows here. We're going to need some men to come to the church and say, hey, we got to get the shovel sidewalked and salt spread out and all that. And we got to get that done. That one man cannot do it all. There's landscaping. We have $300, I think, set aside for the landscaping of this building out here. And the ladies did such a good job over here at the putting the seat under the tree. But when you walk out here, there's weeds that need to be pulled. We buy flowers. You'll see the flowers, they're still in the pots. They've not been put in the ground yet. Do you know why? Because I have not had time to do it. But one day, before winter, it might get done. Okay? All I'm telling you is if you want a place to serve, there's a lot of places to serve. There's so much landscaping stuff around the church. Somebody could say, and I've watched, every once in a while you watch somebody, I know it takes a special person, but that just loves that, and I'm not a flower person. I'd rather step on it than, you know, groom it, come on and talk to it, and carbon monoxide, it feeds it. That's not me, that's fine. However, somebody could make it their ministry. I'll take the landscaping of the church. I want to, and Pastor, when the flowers die or this, I mean, we had the two big bushes die out here because some fungus thing got all over it. I was happy to see them die myself. But somebody said, oh, the poor plants. I was like, okay, well, then dig them up and pull them up with a tractor. There's maintenance on the vehicles. We have our pavilion to maintenance for activities. Next. If you're wondering in our church, where can I serve? Where can I? I'm a priest. I'm a king. He made me that when he saved me. Where can I serve? Men need to be a member and wear a tie with a sport coat to do the following. Ushers and greeters. Okay? Ushers and greeters. And that's it. Now turn it over. I'm working my way all the way through this. Now we come to the back page and the stuff in blue here. There are membership, attendance, and standard requirements for the following. You do know nowadays anybody working in the nursery or with children or with minors has to have a background check. Period. End of story. If not, the church can be sued for incompetence, and that's if no allegations are ever made. We can be sued for incompetence if I don't have background checks on people working with children. So that, yes, there are standards and requirements. If you're working in the bus ministry, that's going to involve children. That means a driver is needed. It has to be a CDL for the bus. There's going to need to be a captain. There's going to need to be workers that would go out and visit on Saturday and help pick the kids up on Sunday. In the van, the driver does not have to have a CDL driver. But you do have to be a member to be covered by the insurance. If you want to be covered, if anything happens on that van, you have to be a member to be covered by our insurance. Next, in the nursery, there are requirements to be a nursery worker. There's the cleaning of the nursery. We scrub down the toys every week because, you know, kids, you know, and stuff like that all over the toys. They got to be wiped up and disinfected. You don't want germs spreading to kids, right? That somebody has to do that to help the nursery out. And I love it when people say, this is my ministry. Watch this. There's special meeting scheduling. When we have meetings through the week, Monday meeting, a Tuesday meeting, that has to all be worked through. We need help in the nursery. Watch this. For Sunday school, we're needing Sunday school teachers. There is a place for you to serve that's in the adult, Sunday school teacher, as a children's Sunday school teacher. We're starting a youth ministry here soon. There's the youth Sunday school. That's probably going to split someday into a girl and guy, teenager, and that has a tendency that we're going to need teachers for that. We're going to start a youth group. That's going to be on Sunday evenings from 4 to 4:50. They're going to meet over there in the modular. There we're going to have teen soul winning for the teenagers and teen activities. In the music department, here we go, I'm just about done. In the music department, we'll have specials. To sing a special here at Gospel, I've been over music programs in every church I've been at, but to me it's always been the same. If you're going to sing a special up here in church, you need to go soul winning. You say, well, I don't have time to go soul winning. Then how do you have time to practice a special for church? Amen. And I don't know how anybody, as much as I've sung in church and as much as I've worked with choirs and singing groups, I don't know how anybody could get up here and not practice. So we have a requirement at our church, because I'm the pastor, I understand that, but the requirement is this: if you sing in church on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, you have to practice it three times, three half-hour practices. And if not, it's not ready. Well, I know this song by heart. I learned that when I first got saved. They asked me to sing Amazing Grace in church, and I was in the Marine Corps, and I said, would you sing Amazing Grace? And I said, okay. And they said, well, you need to practice. And I said, oh, I know this song. And this is what my pastor looked at me. He said, God's work is more important than you throwing something together at the last minute. Ding. Okay. When do you want me to practice? Music is you're singing, you're is a sacrifice to the Lord. To me, it's holy. There'll be specials. There'll be a choir. We're going to start a choir here in just a little bit, maybe in a couple of months, but it'll be on Sunday evenings from 5 to 6. And we'll practice and we'll put things in order. We'll have an adult choir. We'll have a children's choir. And finally, we'll have a King's Kids here. That's a scripture memorization program for children. That'll be during the choir time on a Sunday night. You say, where can I as a priest and a king? I've been made a priest and a king unto God. I'm God's priest now that I'm saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Where can I serve? In our church, there's plenty of places for you to serve. And have you noticed, out of the whole list that I read, nobody can do it all. I do know this. You know when God wants us to do these things? When someone says, God's calling me to do that. And one man can't do it all. And I have no doubt in my mind, the people I'm looking at, you're priests now unto God, and God says, there has to be an area where you serve. It'll start with soul winning. Your Bible times is so important. But you say, what do I do after that? There's plenty to do. There's plenty to do for you to serve your king. You are a Christian and a priest if you're saved. If you're saved. I hope God uses the message tonight. Father, please use this. Lord, thank you. And Lord, we'll never understand it.